Let us take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. This week, no doubt, you will have many opportunities to give thanks to the Lord. And I would assume, like many, that you will be giving thanks for food and for family and for a place to gather. Perhaps you'll give thanks for many earthly things. But all these things shall pass away. The turkey that you give thanks for will be gone by Saturday. Or if it's a big bird, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. Your family will depart, though they perhaps will be in contact by phone. The things that you thank them for, thank the Lord for, the home and the car and all the rotting and being destroyed even as we speak. Is there something that we can give thanks for that outlasts a week or outlasts a lifetime? And my encouragement to you this morning is this week, begin to give thanks for these eternal things that you will be giving thanks for all eternity, for those who believe in Christ. And in particular this morning, to encourage you to thank the Lord for His ascension. For His ascension, something that we don't really think much about or meditate upon very often. But let us read the Word of God beginning with John chapter 6 in verse 59 through 62. And then we're going to go over to Acts chapter 1. These things He said in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, speaking of how He was going to be giving His flesh and blood and that they had to feed upon His flesh and blood. And we've talked about that being by faith we eat the communion bread and drink the communion juice or wine, believing that His body was broken for us, for our sins, and blood shed for our sins. Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that His disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble or marvel? What then, if you see the Son of Man ascending to where He was before?" And then over in Acts, in the very first chapter, the first 11 verses, Luke is writing a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. He is writing again to Theophilus, and he says, beginning with verse 1, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He was taken up to heaven after He had by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom He had chosen. To these He also presented Himself alive with His suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, He said, you heard of from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time You are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after He had said these things, He was lifted up, there being at the Mount of Olives. He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while He was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven." Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we read Your Word, that You would apply it to our hearts through Your Holy Spirit, who gave it to men, carried along by the Spirit many years ago. And this same Holy Spirit that enabled men to write these words can enable us today to understand them. But help us, Lord, not simply to understand them so that we could regurgitate them again on some sort of fact sheet. Make these words come alive to us, to be meaningful to us. May we see that His ascension, our Lord's ascension, is meaningful to us even today and worthy for us to give praise and thanksgiving for. We pray that You are honored in every word. Guard my own heart. Guard my own mouth. That only that which is pleasing in Your sight and acceptable may be said. And Father, be with those who hear. May they only hear that which is acceptable to You. Give life. Give wisdom. Give mercy and grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Asked to give a summary of the life of Jesus, many of us perhaps would speak of the virgin birth, and we would speak of His 33 years on the earth living. We would perhaps speak of the crucifixion. We would immediately want to get to the rest of the story and tell of the resurrection. And then we would want to perhaps cap off that story with the fact that Jesus is coming again. Good news, all of it. And yet, if we're not careful, there is an element to the story that we may leave out. And in fact, if you look in many hymn books, if you look at collections of sermons, there is a sort of weak area in collections of songs and collections of sermons. And it is this, that Jesus does not still reside on the earth in the flesh. Something happened to Him after He was resurrected. Something happened with Him after He was raised from the dead physically, after He spent 40 days with His disciples walking the earth, being seen by over 500, Paul would tell us later in the book of 1 Corinthians. Something else happened because He is no longer here walking the earth, and it is the ascension. And we sometimes just sort of, yes, He was raised, but there is great meaning to the fact that Jesus Christ has been raised to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And so this morning, it is my hope that we will meditate just for a while on the ascension of Christ and why this is a good thing and something that we should be thankful for even as we are gathering together to worship today. So if you've got your message notes, if you'll look there, the first item that we can be thankful for is this. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it is the promise of heaven as an actual place. Jesus did not ascend simply to float in between Neptune and Jupiter, waiting around for some time to eventually come back here. There was a particular place that Jesus physically was being lifted to. And of course, the angels tell us this here in verse 11. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, not just simply the heavens as in the atmosphere, or where the stars reside, but to a particular place. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven. And this is a fulfillment of what Jesus said over in John 6, verse 62. What then, if you see the Son of Man. Notice that even while Jesus was alive, before He was indeed crucified, He was predicting the fact that He was going to be seen of men. So here's the corporeal, the bodiliness of the fleshiness of Jesus being able to be seen, being raised up into the skies until his body was covered over by a cloud. What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where He was before? Well, where was He before? Unlike us, we begin here on the earth in a mother's womb. But for Jesus, He who has descended is the one who ascends back into heaven. John 14:2 helps us to continue to be affirmed in the fact that Jesus goes to a particular place with His physical body. He does not just simply go up, as I said, and is sort of floating around in the solar system somewhere waiting and biding time. But instead, in John 14:2, He says, in my Father's house. Notice the the locality of it, the geographical nature of this, the physicality of it. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus had in mind when he left the earth, there was going to be an actual place that he was going to. Stephen, as he's being stoned, he sees, indeed, with the being filled by the Holy Spirit, he gazes, says Acts 7, intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing there at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see heaven opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Ephesians 1:20 tells us this, that the Father brought about everything in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. There is a particular place that Jesus goes to. Now, why is this perhaps a note of good news and thankfulness for us? Because Jesus said, where I'm going, you may go also. And so that when this life is over, for those of you who faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not just over in the ground and your body rots. Oh, no, there is a particular place that your soul goes, Paul describes, as naked for a while, but then will be reclothed with a new body in a day, in an age to come. Everything that Christ laid aside in his humiliation as he comes down from heaven, Philippians 1, he has now reassumed. Philippians 2. He is now reassumed as he goes to heaven. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it is the promise of heaven as an actual place. Our loved ones are not only in spirit somehow diffused into the atoms and matter of space somehow now. No, they are located in a particular place. That particular place is heaven. And Jesus is the forerunner who went before them to bring them and prepare a place for them. This is given to us through the ascension. So that would be one reason why we give thanks for the ascension. There are seven I want to share with you this morning. The second is this. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it is his just reward and sign of acceptance from the Father. We like it when people who have done good things are given the reward. We see that as a commendable thing. We'll see it as a commendable thing that Jesus Christ is receiving his just reward as he sits at times in Scriptures and stands at times in Scriptures at the right hand of the Father, the place of honor. And so we are thankful for his ascension because not only does the Father honor him in raising him from the dead, but the Father honors him in bringing him back to himself to be restored into the place of fellowship that the Son had enjoyed for eternity past. Jesus was anticipating this, even in his earthly ministry in John 17:5. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Peter preached at Pentecost. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. The Father is exalting and accepting the Son. Philippians 2:9, Paul, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Hebrews 1:3, he, speaking of Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification for sins on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God the Father gives God the Son the place of prominence, the place of honor, the place of recognition. Now, as we look at the way that the Father honors the Son, would the Father honor someone like this who is a fraud? No. Would the Father have raised up visibly in the sight of so many people into the heavens and given this word of encouragement to somebody who was a deceiver or a liar? Oh, be encouraged by the fact that Jesus Christ has been so honored and accepted and validated by the Father, because it is just another way of the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Believe in Him. Listen to what He has to say. It's just another way of the Father saying these things, but not so much with words this time, but rather with activity. And so that as we see God the Father so honor and so accept and so, if you will, validate the ministry of Jesus Christ, let us be assured in our own faith in Christ that as the Father gives Him honor, so should we continue to give Him honor as well. As the Father bestows upon Him privilege and authority, may we also bestow upon Jesus privilege and authority over our own very lives as well. Let us give thanks that the Father has accepted the Son to the right hand. Because if the Father did not, there's no use for any of us to be here. The only reason why any of us are here is because we are followers of the Lord Jesus, supposedly the perfect Son of Man, the Son of Man, Son of God, who gave His life for us. And if that's not true, and the Father rejects Him, then we should reject Him too. And there's no need to be here on a Sunday morning. But because the Father has accepted Him and has so honored Him, we are encouraged that our faith is not in vain this morning. Let us be thankful, therefore, for Christ's ascension as it is the promise of heaven as an actual place. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it is His just reward and sign of acceptance from the Father. Thirdly, let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it is a promise of the believer's own resurrection and ascension. Jesus has been raised and has given to us this promise in John 14:3, which I have already alluded to. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Again, in Hebrews 6:20, speaking of Jesus, that He had entered as a forerunner for us into heaven, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus was simply returning to that place where He had been before. And because He goes before us, He holds out for us the hope to be with Him in a place that we have never been and never could hope to be left to ourselves. He gives to us the promise as He ushers, as we are followers of Him, not only in word, but even in locality, my brothers and sisters in Christ, even in locality, we follow Him through the gates of heaven and into the very presence of God. It is through Jesus that we have entrance before the throne of grace and mercy, by now in spirit, but in a day to come in the flesh, and we shall be with the Father. Our promise is that Jesus is the forerunner, and that in some marvelous way, there is a sense that you and I have already experienced spiritually resurrection. As we alluded to earlier, because of Jesus, we have been brought out of death into life, our souls, out of darkness and into light. That is a spiritual resurrection that we have already received for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a sense that we are already spiritually ascended. Does not Ephesians say that even now we are seated with Him in the heavenly places? I think that's Ephesians 1:20, 21 in that area. So that even now, though you are in the flesh seated on these chairs, in another sense, you are seated with Christ in that position of honor, in that position of privilege, in that position of authority. Be encouraged by this and remember that that is who you are. Not because the pastor says so, not because a mom or dad says so, not because you've made this up, but because this is the Word of God that says, in a sense, you are already resurrected. And in a sense, you are already ascended into the heavenly places. And the hope of Jesus Christ is, as He has physically done so, so too shall we. Let us be thankful that Jesus, for Christ's ascension, His physical ascension, as it is a promise of the believer's own resurrection and ascension. Fourth, Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it means His continual intercession before the Father on our behalf. As it means His continual intercession before the Father on our behalf. The work of redemption is finished, but not yet finished. The work of salvation, perhaps, is finished, and yet not yet finished. He did cry, did He not, on the cross, "It is finished." The payment for sin has been paid. And yet, even now, the Son of God whispers into the ear of God the Father that this one is mine. This one is mine. But listen to these verses. Romans 8:34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus. This is the one who died. Yes, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes even now for us. Hebrews 4:14-16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Oh, lift up your weaknesses to Jesus Christ, who has ascended from this earth and knows all your temptations, knows all your weaknesses, and is able to plead with a full mind and full heart to the Father on your behalf. Rather, we have one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is the Son who, as we enter through and as we come, the Father no longer sees us according to our sins because the Son leans over and says, "This one is covered with my blood. His sins are forgiven." And the Father accepts us because of the Son interceding on our behalf. Hebrews 7:25, therefore He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. For Christ did not enter a holy place, Hebrews 9:24, made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Oh, He stood, He was on that cross, He was in that locality for a particular point in time, and He did so for us, in our place, representing us. And now in the locality of heaven, Christ is there, representing us in the flesh to the Father on our behalf, interceding for us, interceding for our sanctification, interceding for us in the midst of our own temptations, interceding for us in the midst of our own doubts, that when we come in faith in Christ, Christ intercedes for us. And He could only physically do that if He was physically raised from this earth into the heavens. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it means His continual intercession before the Father. Think of this. Continually, the Son whispering into the ear of the Father on your behalf. You are not forgotten. That is a lie of the evil one. The Son continually makes intercession for those who are His. He was once a mediator between God and sinful man on that cross. But now He continues that mediator role as He mediates between God and redeemed man. He continues His work for the salvation of our souls even now at the right hand of the Father. Listen to these words from John Calvin in his Institutes. This pastor writes, "Having entered the temple not made with hands, Jesus constantly appears as our advocate and intercessor in the presence of the Father, directs the Father's attention to His own righteousness so as to turn it away from our sins, so reconciles Him to us as by His intercession to pave for us a way of access to the Father's throne, presenting it to miserable sinners to whom it would otherwise be an object of dread, but now complete with grace and mercy." As we come through prayer, the Son intercedes on our behalf, and that throne is drastically changed for us. Instead of judgment, to acceptance, to grace, to mercy, to help, to aid, for comfort. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension, as it means
His continual intercession before the Father on our behalf. May I say this? Some of you fear that you are going to wear out the ear of God by bringing your requests. You can no more pray for yourself more than Jesus already does. Why not continually join Him in the praying for your soul? Let us be thankful, fifthly, for Christ's ascension as it allows for the giving of the Holy Spirit. Again, Pastor Calvin says, spoiling his foes, speaking of Jesus, spoiling his foes, he gave gifts to his people and daily loads them with spiritual riches. This is the position of Christ continuing to give unto his people. Psalm 68:18 says that he has received gifts for men. This is a messianic promise. Psalm 68:18. He has received gifts for men. In Ephesians 1, this prophecy is picked up. And Paul talks about the spiritual gifts that God the Father gives to the Son for His people. And He gives it through the Holy Spirit. The greatest of all the gifts that the Son can give to His people is the Holy Spirit. It was advantageous. In fact, Jesus said this. It is to your benefit. It is to your advantage that I go, so that another can come. Now think about that for a moment. Why would Jesus say that it is to our advantage that He go so that the Holy Spirit could come? Well, think about this. When Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, could somebody in China enjoy His presence while He was walking in Israel? He could not. Could somebody in perhaps Bolivia hear the teaching of Jesus during the days of Jesus while Jesus was in the synagogue here in Capernaum? He could not. It was better for God's people that the Son physically leave so that He could send, indeed, the Holy Spirit who could be at all places at all times. And so it is for our benefit that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, is able to indwell all of us no matter where we are. This is the promise given to us in Acts 1:8. But you, and listen to this word kindly put by Jesus as the disciples are worried about earthly kingdoms and perhaps even to the setting of dates for the end times. Jesus addresses this in verse 7. It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but here's what you really need to concentrate on. But you will receive. Now, you may not know times. You may not know epochs. You may not know the dates. You may not be able to control who's in what government at what country at any given time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even in the remotest part of the earth. This is the Holy Spirit that Peter was preaching about in the next chapter over in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, where he says, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this, which you both see and hear, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so as Jesus has ascended, He has not left us as spiritual orphans. He has given to us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the presence of God would be with us at all times, teaching us, empowering us, emboldening us, all so that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. This is why the Holy Spirit's given to us, so that the name of Jesus Christ would be made much of. John Flavel writes this then in regards to the gift of the Spirit. See that you abuse not the Spirit, whom God sent from heaven at His ascension, to supply His bodily absence among us and is the great pledge of His care for and tender love to His people. Now take heed that you do not vex Him by your disobedience, nor grieve Him by your unkindnesses, nor quench Him by your sinful neglects of duty or abuse of life. Oh, deal kindly with the Spirit and obey His voice. Comply with His designs and yield up yourselves to His guidance and conduct. Well, we are thankful perhaps for Christ's ascension, for all that we've seen so far. But yet, if we're going to be thankful for all that the ascension means, that means the giving of the Holy Spirit, and to be truly thankful, is that not then to live in obedience to the Holy Spirit who's been given to us? To perhaps to use, to make beneficial use of the Holy Spirit who teaches us to walk in righteousness and warns us of evil all around. We would think it incredulous that we would give a gift to a child for a birthday or Christmas, and they open it up and put it down, didn't pay much attention to it afterwards. We would be angry. We would be disappointed. We would be wounded. Does the Father and the Son not have the same right to those emotions when we have received the Holy Spirit and yet put Him to the side, refusing to listen, refusing to interact, refusing to be used even by the Holy Spirit for the glory of Christ? Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension. It is the promise of heaven as an actual place. It is His just reward and sign of acceptance from the Father. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it is the promise of the believer's own resurrection and ascension now and fully yet in a day yet to come. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it means His continual intercession right now before the Father on our behalf. And let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it allows for the giving of the Holy Spirit. Sixth, let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it signals His universal dominion. As it signals His universal dominion. Does our Lord have enemies? Is the name of the Lord even a byword in the mouths of many? Yes. But it will not always be so. The reason why the Father puts the Son to the right hand, it's one, to give Him rule and reign and authority, but also to sit down at the right hand of the Father. Now, imagine this imagery. Father calls the Son forth to Himself and causes Him to sit beside Him. What does this signify? Equality. Equality. Whatever the Father is sovereign over, the Son is sovereign over. Whatever the Father rules over, the Son rules over. It also signifies rest. And this is given to us in Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20-23, speaking of all His purposes that the Father brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as a head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Oh, the nations rage. But there is one who rules. And there are those who spew forth venomous words and venomous books and venomous films towards the person of our Savior. But they are like the snake who is shot in the head and wiggles for a little while longer, dead and not knowing it. All of the enemies of Christ, they are put asunder. And we will see that with our own eyes one day when He comes take the church to be with. with Him. He is, in the words of the psalmist, the King of glory who will never give up His reign. And then to think that as the Son rules, the Son is in dominion. And how do we know this? Because He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now think about this. Who else is seated at the right hand of the Father? Clue, I've already said it this morning. We are. We are. Did you know that the Bible talks about you and I in Christ ruling creation? In fact, the Bible talks about our ruling and having dominion over angels when we are perfected with Christ in 1 Corinthians 6:3. So that's an encouragement to those of you who like angels and all that. Don't want to be an angel. Angel is a lesser creation. Angels are going to be ruled by believers in Christ in the world yet to come. In the world yet to come, Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 8 says that we shall rule over creation. We see that already as the Father gave the mandate, as God gave the mandate to Adam and Eve there in the other garden to rule over and to manage and have dominion over the creation. Well, of course, sin upset all of that, and so we do so very imperfectly, but there will be a day when all is set right, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, that you and I shall actually be rulers with Christ. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it signals His universal dominion. His enemies shall be put under His feet fully and finally one day, and the ascension is one of the linchpins in that process taking place. Which means this, have you experienced persecution for your faith? At work, have you been called a fanatic for praying over your meal or having your Bible on your desk? Or perhaps those of you who interact with those in your school or those in your neighborhood, perhaps have others sort of ridiculed you for being too concerned about the things of Christ? Oh, they're not really ridiculing you. They're not really setting themselves up as the enemies of you. They are setting themselves up as the enemies of Christ. Pray for them, because our God is merciful. Our God is one who resurrects the dead into life, just as He resurrected you. Pray that God will be merciful and convert them. But know this, their mocking of God, their mocking of Christ, shall not go unnoticed and not go unpunished as we look at eternity. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it signals His universal dominion. And then lastly, let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it is the precursor for His return. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension as it is the precursor for His return. He could not come again. I'm just simple thinking here. He could not come again if He has not left. And so for Him to come back for His church, He had to leave. In John 14, when He talks about, I will come back for you. And we find great words of encouragement by that, great comfort out of that in John 14. Well, if He's going to come back, then He must leave. And His leaving is a precursor. It's a necessary step that must take place so that He could come back. We see this again in verse 11. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will... Now, just look at that verse. This Jesus who has been taken up. This is a passive verb. I meant to bring this out earlier. This is the Father who has taken up Jesus. This is that sign of acceptance. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven. And of course, as I said, John 14 would be another passage that speaks to His coming back. Let us be thankful for Christ's ascension, because He has also promised that just as He has left us, He has not left us alone, nor shall He leave us forever, for He shall come back for His church to be with Him forever and ever. And we are those who eagerly await the appearing of our great God and glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. So, this week as you are giving thanks to the Lord, perhaps some things you had not pondered yet to put on your list in regards to the ascension of Christ to give thanks. There will be just a couple other points of further application that I would want to leave with you. First one is this then. hearing all that we have heard regarding the ascension, let us hold fast to our confession. Let us hold fast to our confession. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens because of this ascension, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Those of you who are seemingly holding on to Christ with just the weakest of grips, be encouraged that you still hold on even with the weakest of grips, because the Father's hand already grips you in all His might. Hold fast to the confession. Not having faith in your faith. Not having faith in your emotions. Not having faith in the degree to which you feel like you're saved. But having faith in God to hold you in the faith in Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast to our confession. And perhaps you are here and you have not yet confessed Christ as Lord and Savior. You have not confessed aloud that indeed Jesus Christ is Lord. That you believe that indeed He was that He died for sins and was raised after 3 days. Then perhaps today is the day that you begin your confession of Christ, knowing that He has ascended and that He returns again as the one who is the universal King of all creation. Today, will you not confess Him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your King, and continue to hold on in the days and years that God should give you on this earth? Secondly, as we hold fast to this confession, let us labor until His return. And this I say, if you are a believer who is 12 or a believer who's 82, we are not told that it was only the 11 disciples who were at the Mount of Olives. Indeed, it was probably the 500. There would have been men and women involved. There would have been young, and there would have been old. And here they are as they see this glorious sight as Jesus is being taken up and squinting, even as they're looking into the sunlit sky as He's going up into the clouds and whispering to each other, "Can you still see Him just apart?" And they're gazing and gazing and gazing, and they have to be snapped out of the moment by the voice of these angels. Why do you stand looking into the sky? We can eagerly await. We ourselves can eagerly await the return of our Savior. And we could be like these, eagerly waiting and looking into the sky, "Lord Jesus, come even now." This was part of the problem with the church in Thessalonica. So encouraged were they by the soon return of Christ that they were quitting their jobs and sitting on the rooftops of their homes waiting. And Paul would have to write 2 Thessalonians, "Get back to work. You don't know when He's coming." But here are these disciples, and they're just enthralled with this vision. And the angels have to say, "Why do you stand looking into the sky?" Jesus didn't just get done telling you to stand around looking into the sky. What did Jesus just get done telling you? He's going to come back. Don't worry. But do not forget, you who have received the Holy Spirit, that you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem, right in your own neighborhood, right in your own grocery store, right in the park with some other moms and your children. You shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Some of you have jobs who make you travel around the state. Shall be witnesses as you go and travel. And even some, Lord willing, would be called out of this place to be witnesses even to the remotest part of the earth. Oh, let us be glad that Christ has ascended. But it means, therefore, that we shall be His witnesses until He comes. Father, we are thankful that Jesus, yes, died on the cross. But we are thankful that you have validated all that he said and all that he did in the resurrection and in the bringing him up to yourself. We thank you that though we have not seen with our physical eyes, you have helped us to see the Son of Man lifted up to where he has been before. Thank you for your Spirit teaching us your Word. We thank you that Jesus has ascended and that even now he makes intercession. Even now he holds out the hope of joining him in an actual place. Thank you that he has ascended and even now rules and reigns over creation. And we wait with him as we see all the enemies put under his feet. Father, even while he waits and we wait, you may choose to send us to some who now are marked as enemies, but will become children of God through faith. Let us take our thanksgiving for the ascension of Christ and his reign and rule over us and the gifting to us of the Holy Spirit. Let us take that thanksgiving and apply it. Just as we would when we receive any other good gift from a friend or loved one, and we don't waste a minute to tell others about the good gift we've received. And may we not waste a minute. Tell others the good gift of Christ as we are enabled by the Holy Spirit that others may have him as well. And Father, I pray for us. It is a wearying world. Life is just difficult and causes questions. And then we live in an age where we can study every kind of religious philosophy and ism at the punch of a button. And doing so out of curiosity and maybe even doing so in the hopes of being a good defender of the faith. And yet when we do that, sometimes our own faith becomes questionable to us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to hold fast to the confession we have in Christ. We live in an age where the idea and notion of absolute truth is questioned heavily. And yet Jesus said the greatest absolute truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. So help us to hold fast, even as you hold us fast in your grip of grace. Praise you. All this is true of Jesus. Our great Savior, how mighty he is, how compassionate he is, how eternal he is, how divine he is, how encouraging he is to us, how inviting he is. That all who come to him, he will never turn away. Father, we thank you. We thank you for reminding us of the ascension of Christ today. And may our hearts be glad in him for this today and in the days to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.